Health insurance, how to pay for it, and fears of losing it are major concerns for Americans. And Affordable Care Act premiums will be going up almost 16% in Wisconsin next year. To talk about all these issues, thanks to Insurance Commissioner Ted Nickel. Ted, thanks for coming back to Wisconsin Eye.
You bet, Steve. Thank you, and happy Halloween.
Well, thank you. I'm dressed up as a producer. Anyway, interviewer. Give us an overview. First of all, Wisconsin's health insurance market. Are most people still get it from their employers?
Yeah, in Wisconsin, the vast majority of health insurance consumers are still getting that benefit from their employers, although there are about 220,000 folks who are purchasing from the individual market or through the exchange.
About 220,000.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have, I think, from Department of Health Services reports, 1 in 5 get their health care through Medicaid, but that's a completely separate silo, correct?
That is separate, except an interesting thing is we're seeing some of the insurers who offer Medicaid managed care now entering the commercial market because they want to control the churn. Because you see people moving in.
Churn means?
Or out of Medicaid into the private market, and then maybe something happens and they move back in.
Oh.
And they want to control those the costs and the medical care. They want to keep an eye on the medical care of those consumers as they kind of move in and out, because if they lose them for a while and then they come back, they don't always come back in as good a shape as perhaps they were trending when they left.
Well,
Medicaid.
You were named insurance commissioner in January of 2011.
Yes.
When Governor Walker took office.
Correct.
Talk about the biggest changes you've seen in the 6 years that you've been commissioner, sir.
With regards to what
health,
issue?
Health insurance.
Oh, we're talking health insurance.
Just health insurance.
The biggest changes are the daunting task of operationalizing the Affordable Care Act here in Wisconsin. It's a federal law. It's made many changes to the way health insurance is managed or sold and marketed and plan design. So we've had to work very closely with the federal government to change our system to map it onto the one-size-fits-all federal design, and what we've seen is just a general not as bad as we've seen in other states, but we've seen a general change in the way health insurance is sold. But by allowing the transitional plans to continue on the commercial side and for employers, we've been able to keep one market pretty steady. But then we've had to live through the growing pains of changing to the Affordable Care Act system of delivering health insurance.
Well, Wisconsin made a major policy decision to not set up its own marketplace.
Correct.
Was that a wise decision?
You know, at the time, there was a lot of discussion back and forth between many of us in the administration. And, you know, as health insurance or as insurance professionals, as people running the department, there was a lot of push to, you know, we can do this ourselves. We can have a great exchange that we can build our own. But, you know, the governor saw a great opportunity to just leverage the federal exchange and use that system that was already being built. And it turns out he was right. We didn't have to spend the $50 million plus to build our own exchange. We've been able to leverage the federal exchange.
Yeah.
And folks have been able to use that to get the insurance that they need. And what we've seen in many other states is the technology didn't work very well.
Healthcare.gov was a nightmare.
Well, healthcare.gov.
Beyond that,
states with their own exchanges like Minnesota and some other states just really had a real difficult time
you
making that
Minnesota.
Work.
You mentioned Minnesota. I was so intrigued. The governor, who was a Democrat, Governor Dayton, correct?
Yeah, the Dayton plan.
He said it's no longer affordable.
Yeah.
And so let's do a little bit of a tale of two states. We opted not to set up our own exchange. Minnesota, what has happened there vis-a-vis us, compared to us?
Well, their market was never quite as competitive as ours, so they didn't have as many players in their market. They set up their own exchange. They were going to run it internally. And they did not provide the flexibility that we've been able to provide our insurers to make it work. And I think there was a lot of frustration on the part of the insurers in Minnesota, and some of them just literally said they threw up their hands and said we can't operate in the state, and they pulled out of the market, and thus creating a huge vacuum for the remaining insurer or two that are still there, thus now you're seeing significant rate hikes in Minnesota, and now the governor is promoting, I think the Dayton plan, as he calls it, to use use existing state monies to provide tax credits for consumers to bring down those increases to a more reasonable level.
So
I'm not sure how the legislature is going to deal with that, but we'll see.
Well, before we talk about the changes in the ACA in Wisconsin, let's talk about what number of Wisconsin residents still don't have insurance. I was the figure in the State Journal, 353,000. Does that sound right?
That's about 10%.
About 10%.
Yeah.
Do we still rank high nationally in terms of having a relatively low number of Wisconsin residents not have insurance?
Yeah, I don't have the exact ranking nationwide, but our uninsured rate with regards to health insurance has been pretty consistent before the ACA, because we had the high risk plan and we had other avenues for folks to get insurance, and post ACA, there's just 10% of folks who don't want to participate.
Who are they? Are they millennials who feel they're young, they can't afford it, they're relatively healthy? Is there any demographic profile of who doesn't have healthcare insurance in Wisconsin?
Yeah, we haven't dug into that, so I can't give you a specific profile. But yeah, you're always going to have young folks who I still remember when I didn't think I was ever going to get sick and ever need health insurance, but. So you have that demographic, and you just have some people who, quite frankly, don't want to have anything to do with anybody, and they'll take care of things on their own. It's a very independent spirit. I grew up in northern Wisconsin. There's a lot of folks up in northern Wisconsin in particular who are very independent and feel like they can take care of things on their own, and they don't want to have any part in this thing.
But the ACA mandate was supposed to catch them, right?
Yeah.
If you don't have insurance, you're going to pay a penalty. So are you surprised that Wisconsin still has 10% of people that may be paying the penalty if they're caught, assuming they're caught?
I think there's an assumption that, you know, some folks they're going to get caught. I've talked to a financial person, an accountant, a while ago at the Governor's Small Business Summit, and they were telling me some stories of people who got caught or got hooked in on the penalty stuff, and it was their description of what consumers have to go through was harrowing. That they thought, and then even those who thought they were getting a certain amount of credit, tax credit or subsidy, mm-hmm. when their numbers came in, it didn't match up with what everybody was thinking. So there were some extra payments here and extra payments there. It's been very complicated for consumers.
What's your advice to the 10% of Wisconsin adults who don't have health insurance?
I would say, first, if you're employed, check with your employer. See if there's an option there that makes sense to you. That's the first go-to thing. Okay. Secondly, if your income is low, check out the exchange, see if there's a product that meets your needs, and then check and see if you're eligible for a subsidy, because the subsidies are still pretty significant for those on the lower end of the income scale. And finally, always check with your agent. Always check with an insurance professional to get a sense on whether or not you're eligible for something, or you can afford something, or there's something out there that meets your needs.
Now let's talk about 224,000 that this year got insurance through the ACA.
Right.
Are they generally older and sicker than was thought when the ACA was first passed and scored financially like 6 years ago?
Again, we haven't studied that the demographic of those folks, so I can't tell you what an average uninsured person or now an insured person.
More men or more women? No, nothing.
No,
that.
We don't track. We don't really track that data, but you have to assume that part of that population would have been eligible for our high-risk plan. So those that were not eligible to buy a plan, those because of either some sort of a health condition or some sort of pre-existing condition where they were not eligible for a commercial product or an individual product. So you're going to have some of that population who would have been eligible for the high-risk plan who are now eligible because of the way the ACA is set up. So some of the people are definitely going to be less healthy and have pre-existing conditions. But so that's a good reason why we have the ACA, so that they can get coverage. And then I think others, as we follow through with the governor's idea of expanding Medicaid in Wisconsin to pick up those that were on the waiting list, lowering the eligibility to 100%, and then providing advice for those who were previously eligible for Medicaid but now are eligible for a commercial product through the ACA, you know, they're going to have some of those folks that make up that marketplace.
Do you think the ACA overall, this is a national question, has it taken us closer to the universal single-payer system?
No, I don't think so. As I look at it nationally, I think the ACA has exposed itself as maybe a great idea that somebody came up with. A lot of thought went into the ACA, but in reality, a one-size-fits-all approach from D.C. Mm-hmm. is proving not to work very well in individually state-regulated markets that understand the needs of their consumers, because you're seeing in a lot of states because of the costs of those policies and the rich benefit designs, even the very sophisticated large insurers are backing out of markets. We've had some of that here in Wisconsin, but you've seen it in other states where you've got states now like Alabama that has only one insurer statewide. You've got Oklahoma that says only one insurer. I think Arizona's got a small number of insurers, and you're seeing rate increases in that state of over 100%. Minnesota, you're seeing a lot of turmoil there. The idea of the ACA nationally has not worked out, I think, as well as it could have. There are other states like Wisconsin and quite a few others who have had, prior to the ACA, a very competitive health insurance marketplace, mm-hmm. and our insurers in this state are sophisticated enough and want to continue to be competitive here, that have hung in there, and have been able to be successful. But I think it's in large part, and you've seen it in some of the other states, in large part in the states where there were already a lot of the provisions of ACA built into their existing state laws.
So in 2017, mm-hmm. Wisconsin will have 15 insurers participating in the ACA.
Right.
And Kaiser Foundation says, of all the states that don't have their own marketplace, are we number one?
In terms of our participation rate?
Yeah.
We're
doing very well.
Yeah, we're doing very well relative to some of the other markets around the country. Yeah.
Right. Okay, now let's talk about the options for the 224,000 people who are now getting insurance through the ACA.
Right.
What choices, what process are they, what are they facing for 2017, and how do they go about making their next decisions for health care insurance?
Sure. So starting tomorrow, November 1st, the individuals should start, or probably should have already been kind of researching, mm-hmm. But need to start the process of making that decision. So a couple of things. One, those who have existing coverage with an existing company can go to the exchange again and look to see if there's anything different that they might want to explore, whether it's a little bit different plan design. And one of the things they want to make sure of is if their doctors and if their health providers are still in the networks offered by that insurer. So that's number one. Number two, we have seen an exodus by a couple of companies in the state, some large ones, United, Humana, and one other one.
Physicians Plus is out of the Dane County market. That's one example, correct?
I thought
I read that in the state journal. But go ahead.
Could be.
Excuse me.
Well, but for those folks who had insurance through an existing commercial company, one of the was about 18 last year, 15. They will not be able to buy that Humana plan next year. Those companies are out. So what the federal government has proposed to us is they'll take care of it again. I'm frustrated when the feds just say, well, we're going to take care of something. So what they're going to do is they're going to just go in and look at the existing coverage that a consumer had, and they're going to find another insurer in the area, and they're going to look at the price points and kind of the coverage options and say, that looks about right. We're going to just take your information, your personal information, your health information, and your banking information, and we're going to transfer it over to Company B without any permission, without any authority, if that consumer doesn't go ahead and make their own choice.
Okay, this is the auto enrollment.
This is the auto enrollment issue.
Okay, this consumer, though, may not have the same network of doctors, may have to, right?
Right. The network of doctors is not one of the significant...
Who's going to make this decision? Somebody in Washington?
Yes.
Region? They are?
Yes.
So
That's how the federal exchange works.
What you're
they
now...
They did not anticipate having major insurers move out, so they're scrambling. And they want to, and I get the intent that we want to make sure everybody has health insurance coverage, right? That's important. But their solution is, well, we'll just, if they're not going to do it on their own, we know that they want it, so we're just going to make it happen for them,
and
we'll just find something for them.
But there's a big
but there,
yeah.
And the unless is if the consumer has received notices from their insurer, and they have, mm-hmm. they need to proactively figure out whatever's important to them: price, service, doctors, and plan design, and proactively find a plan that will be still in their area, because we've got coverage in all 72 counties, and proactively go to the exchange and find a plan that fits their needs.
What resources can they rely on to get help? You go to this website, healthcare.gov, and it's pretty imposing, and mm-hmm. you get frustrated, and maybe there's a delay, and you know, maybe your cell phone rings or your kid gets sick or something. What resources can the 224,000 people use?
I think the best thing anybody can do is go seek a professional. Find an agent somewhere. I think we still have some navigators in the state. Find a professional who can take their case individually, sit down with them, and say, all right, what's important to you? Do you still want Dr. Smith? All right, let's find a plan where Dr. Smith is in the network. Start there. Or is it price? Is it the amount of your deductibles? What's important to you? Work through the process. Start from A, get to Z.
Do I have to pay that agent?
No. The insurer will pay that agent a commission.
Okay. Your office was good enough to give us five common questions.
Sure.
So we've begun to work through those.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go through them one by one, and anything we haven't covered will a P.S. Number one, top five consumer questions on the 2017 healthcare insurance market. How should I shop for 2017 healthcare insurance? Did you just outline that?
Yeah, we've pretty much covered it.
Okay.
Individually, go, you know, first of all, check with your employer. If you've maybe been recently employed, if you had an exchange plan and you've recently been employed by a different employer or something, check with your employer, see if there's a plan there. Two, check with your agent and agent. Three, do your own research, but you know, go through a process. Don't just hope that it's going to be there next year and that everything is going to be right. It's become more of an interactive.
Can I call your office for advice on this or no?
You can call our office anytime with questions. We don't give advice.
We don't make recommendations. You don't give advice.
No,
okay.
We don't want to. We don't get in. That's up to the marketplace.
Cannot go there.
Okay. Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. But any general questions, we're always there for questions, complaints. We're a good resource for starters. And the other thing is, on our website, we do have a mapping tool which can tell you initially which insurers are writing in your county.
I love that. When I went to it last week, I found out that I think in Milwaukee County you dropped from 7 to 5.
Yep.
Then I looked in Western County, Eau Claire, mm-hmm. I think you dropped from 4 to 3, something like mm-hmm. that. Are there any counties in Wisconsin that will only have one insurer, any region?
There's only there were a couple of regions or a couple of counties last year that only had one. Now they're up to two or more, Pierce, Polk, and St. Croix. And then the one county that's down to one, or maybe has traditionally had one, is Menominee County.
Okay.
And Menominee County's got a lot of its own demographics that it doesn't surprise me that there's not a lot of competition there.
So question number two, in Wisconsin, what does the 15.88% average rate increase for individual ACA-compliant health insurance plans mean for me?
Nothing.
Why? Because of the offset of the subsidy?
No, there's that, but it's an average. And averages mean in some areas the cost could be actually, we have some areas and some plans that if you fit certain, you know, characteristics, your plan, your premium rate could go down. And some areas and some plans where it could go up. So down, I think the lowest, some of the decreases, we've seen decreases of up to 15%, and we've seen increases of up to 30%. So there's a range there, and it's all contingent upon you as an individual mapping out your own needs.
Well, our
and then at the end of that,
yes,
at the end of that, you also then get into the subsidy world where you enter your income and everything else, and then you'll be provided subsidies that offset whatever that larger premium number is. The premium is the premium, but the subsidies then come into play if you're income eligible for the subsidy.
So healthcare.gov, once I enter my information, is going to tell me what my potential subsidy is, whether I'm going to get a subsidy?
Yes.
Okay. And there's
a subsidy calculator, I believe, as well.
And the percentage of Wisconsin residents getting health insurance through the ACA that are eligible for a subsidy, is it more than 80%, between 80 and 90, you remember?
I don't remember that.
Okay.
But if you're on the exchange, there's a good chance that you're eligible for a subsidy. Because otherwise you could also just go to the individual market, see an agent, go to the individual market.
That's true.
You can go that way as well.
Our 15.8% is lower than the national average at 22%.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we have a healthier competition in Wisconsin?
Well, we have a great regulator.
Well, obviously.
Just kidding. It's lower because we do have a lot of competition. We've got big companies. We've got small companies. We've got a changing marketplace as well, where you're seeing some of the healthcare providers getting kind of a little bit more involved in the insurance marketplace, teaming up with insurers. And so you're seeing a little bit different twist on the insurance model that's we're allowing to develop here. I mean, our goal is to not be heavy-handed, not to tell people what they can charge, let the marketplace figure all of that out, and provide a competitive market for insurers to operate, and then let them compete with each other. And I think that is generally a good recipe for a stable market, number one, and two, a market where you don't have significant increases like you're seeing in other parts of the country. And I always go back to the fact that we have some of the lowest homeowners and the lowest auto insurance rates in the country. Again, I think we've got a pretty good competitive market.
What's been the picture for health insurance in Milwaukee County? Big changes? Any major additions?
Yeah, there's an exit. Milwaukee County and in the southeast region was served by one of the larger insurers that's backing out of the market. We've seen the interest now and the entrance of Children's. They're very strong on the Medicaid side. Now they're gonna enter the exchange of the commercial market. So we've got a new player down there, and the existing players there are the remaining players there are still competing pretty hard. So there's still a pretty it's still a pretty competitive marketplace down there.
Do you see the 15.8% that's the statewide average, larger or smaller in Southeast Wisconsin?
Don't know off the top of my head.
Okay, what is driving overall the increase in the cost of health insurance?
We're still seeing, and maybe this changes in the future, Steve. We're still seeing significant utilization, so you're seeing a lot of people still maybe catching up on care that they didn't have prior to the ACA, where they maybe did not have a policy. You're also seeing. And there's a lot of very very complicated issues playing into this, but the simpler ones is you're still seeing some medical care or medical inflation in the market, so that's still going to drive costs. We're also still we still have a bit of cost shifting going on in the healthcare marketplace, and that cost shifting washes up on the shores of the individual market. In the commercial market, so there's still pressures. The ACA still didn't do the one thing that everybody had hoped was to make health care more affordable. Okay. And if health care is not more affordable, insurance isn't going to be, because obviously the insurance follows the health.
This auto enrollment feature is new, correct?
Yes.
So critics say that's Big Brother determining, and so if you don't take some affirmative act. Mm-hmm. The federal government is going to reassign you to some comparable insurer.
That's the thought.
Okay, and to stop that, I have to take an affirmative act and tell the federal government, don't do that? Is that basically?
No. Well, yes and no. The first step would be to, once you see those cancellation notices, and I'm assuming they're out by now, realize that I can't just skate into next year and just continue those payments. I need to make those affirmative steps to find a new plan that meets my needs.
Okay.
So if you do that, there's no problem. If you don't do that,
if you're not proactive, if you're
not proactive, then that means one of two things: either you don't want insurance next year and you want to pay the penalty, or you want to do something else, or two, you're just you've missed it, or you're assuming that something is going to happen that's not, and thus the federal government believes that if you had health insurance once, you're going to want it again.
It is your intent to keep it.
It's your intent to keep it, and they're going to help you with satisfy your intent.
Okay. So then it takes an affirmative declaration for me to cancel that because of the federal government assumption that I want to continue having it through the ACA.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
But you're not going to know that. I mean, yeah, you would have to, right now you would have to tell them, I suppose.
Okay.
But again, we all get busy and we forget to do things. You're going to be mapped into 17. And the other thing that CMS and HHS is doing is they're extending the open enrollment deadline for that small population, those that are potentially subject to auto enrollment, now to the end of February.
End of February. Okay. For the others, you said the open enrollment begins
tomorrow
and ends when?
December 15th, I think.
Okay. Almost out of time, just a couple more questions. If there's one thing I need to know about health care insurance in Wisconsin, what would that be?
One thing to know?
Yeah.
It's good to have it. I mean, you want to be protected in case of the worst thing happening to you.
And then maybe a final question.
Yeah.
What major policy decisions did the next president and the next Congress face in terms of the ACA? And are any of those major policy decisions going to have a very unique, potentially, impact on Wisconsin?
I think the best thing that the next administration could do is defer to the states. And I don't want to get into too many things, but block grant Medicaid. Let the states figure out how they want to spend their Medicaid dollars. give the states maybe some ideas of what they'd like to see done, and then let the states handle it. We almost had it done here when we had the high-risk plan. We had a lot of people covered, and we haven't ended up with many more people being covered under the ACA. Let the states figure it out. Maybe provide some broad guidelines, but let the states figure it out. Let them manage their marketplaces to the best of their ability, because they're right on the ground and they know what's going on in their states.
That almost sounds like a phrase that you hear in the presidential, repeal and replace. Is that what you're talking about?
It would be a lot of work if they repealed and replaced, because we've gone from something and now we've repealed our old thing and now we've replaced it with this new thing. I don't know. Repeal and replace is a great slogan. I think it's just giving states the ability to manage their markets the way they see fit. It's pretty simple.
Employers, do you know what is there any average increase in premiums for insurance that is provided by employers next year? If we're 15.8% on the ACA, is there a comparable number for premium increase?
I don't have that number with me.
It's less it's certainly less than 15.8, isn't it?
I suspect it is. And again, on the employer side, we've from day one, we've taken advantage of one of the things the Fed's allowed us to do, which is to allow consumers to keep the health care or the health insurance plan that they had prior to ACA. So there's a transitional period. We've taken advantage of several of those transitional periods since the law was passed. So there are a lot of people in this state who have the same health insurance plan they had prior to the ACA. And we've been very proactive in allowing that to occur. So it may not be quite as rich of a benefit design as what the ACA requires, but it's something that consumers have enjoyed and they've been able to maintain for several years now.
Bottom line, Commissioner, Wisconsin has a very healthy competition, and so we're in good shape vis-a-vis some of these other states, right?
Yes.
Okay. Insurance Commissioner Ted Nickel, thanks very much for coming to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you.
Thank you.